On Sunday afternoons, we're taking a look at teachers, deacons, preachers, pastors, the ministers of our Lord. And we're here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3. If we do have understanding about our brother being a pastor there at Ephesus, we left off in the last chapter where he admonishes, the Apostle Paul admonishes Brother Timothy to, in his teaching and pastoring, to remind the daughters of the Lord, if you will, the women, the children of the Lord, females, don't be like Diana and don't follow after that way, but follow after the pattern and example that we have in the Scriptures and from even ladies of old in the Scriptures. Now comes to chapter 3, and we see that our apostle is reminding the brother about his calling, and we see here in this chapter about the qualifications of being a pastor in one of the Lord's churches. And as it always has been, the men of God are to be holy. There is a standard that is there, and no man is perfect, no person is perfect, no person is sinless. But there is a standard that the Lord sets forth for the men of God. And so in this chapter, we'll begin to take a look at that and see what these qualifications are. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, the apostle writes, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." And indeed it is. It is a good work, and it's the, as was, I think it was said over at the conference, it's not a vocation, and that's true. It's not a job. I used to do engineering work, and then I did most lately, you know, before I came here as pastor, did sales and service work in industry and worked in industry for some 25 years or so. And that was my vocation. That's what I trained to do. That's what I pursued and learned and tried to advance in and gain in. Back in 2001, the Lord so impressed upon my heart that I needed to surrender to be a preacher, be one of his preachers, and had no inclination of becoming a pastor. But over the course of time, my Lord showed me, and our Lord showed me that I needed to submit to his will. If he wanted me to be a pastor of one of his churches, that's what I needed to do. And then in the course of time, as you know, the church called me to supply. And then we met one another in that way. And the Lord led the church to ultimately to call me as pastor. And so the Lord used his calling to preach. And the church is here calling to me for me to be a pastor. And the evaluation of the church there at Independence of the ministry that I'd worked in, they giving the nod that I was a man to be released into such a thing, and that's what that ordination is all about, a sanctioning of the man to go on and do that work, the Lord called me here. And it indeed is a good work. But it's not a vocation. It is a calling of the Lord, and praise the Lord for it. It is a work that is involved with eternal things, and what a blessed state that is. This is the work of the Lord. Again, his church, there's no other institution on the earth that the Lord is more interested in. There are global companies that have been, are, and will be, but the Lord's not interested in them as he is his church. There are great works, and even as men describe them, wonders of the world. But the Lord is not interested in them like he is his church. And understand, make sure and let us remember when the Lord's talking about his church, he's talking about the people that he's put in each one of them. Not a building, not an organization from the standpoint of a wide-reaching national, multinational organization. Some pursue conventionism and such as that. Not talking about that. We're talking about the Lord's churches in places, in cities, towns, regions where he has placed them, and those people that he has added and put together, he is most interested in. What he has brought them together to be in his institution, the Lord's New Testament Baptist Church, is and his eternal work here upon earth at our time. What a blessed thing that our Lord has given us a church to be a member of. That we have fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ together. We have fellowship with our Lord, and we can fulfill that which he's given us to do to glorify him and carry out the great commission that he's given us to carry out. And so it is a good work. The office of a bishop. Let's deal with this about the gender. We live in a day of gender confusion. It says this is a true saying, if a man. And what helps with this instantly is to go on to verse number 2. Let's take a look here. A bishop must then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. So it's a man, the male. Those like Adam was. The Lord created Adam. And so a man is the gender that is called to be a pastor. And he must be the husband of one wife. Brother Jim, do you think that a man needs to be married to be able to be a pastor? Well, I'll tell you what, I think a man looking to be a pastor, it's not impossible for him to do so, but he's going to be challenged. He's going to have challenges in trying to be a pastor as a single man. And I think that certainly a requirement is if he is married, he needs to be married to one woman. And that's the qualification, having one living wife that he is united to. And so the wife is the woman and the pastor is the man. And so it's men that the Lord has called to this work. It says here, if a man desire, and I'll tell you, this word desire is speaking about to stretch oneself in order to touch or grasp something. You really want it to give oneself up to a thing, to yield to it, or even a synonym would be to cover it after, to desire it. Okay, covetousness for the things of the world is a bad thing, but covetousness of the things of the Lord is a good thing. And coveting prayers, you know, sometimes that we will have brethren that would come by and visit, or you might hear that they say, "Well, I covet your prayers. We desire your prayers." A man to desire this work, it is that way. I tell you what, I don't think, as the scripture bears out in other places, it should not be by constraint because of daddy or because of mama or because someone thinks that a man would make a good pastor. But if she'd be by the desire that the Lord gives. And you know, that's the way the Lord worked in me. I loved my work. I did. I mean, it was made to order for me, and I enjoyed it and had a lot of it, and it was great. But you know what? When the church here called me to be your pastor, and you know, the Lord just gave an understanding and a sense to me, my wife, even our children, that's what we needed to do. That's what I needed to do. And I looked forward to getting here, to get in the midst of this work that the Lord had given me of becoming the pastor of Olmsted Baptist Church for the Lord's sake, for his calling. And so there is a desire. Now, you that have been members here, as long as I've been pastor, you know, we've had times that we wanted to run in circles, scream and shout, or maybe just run off. We've had that. But, you know, the Lord's been faithful, hadn't he? He's honored his word, and we sought to seek to honor him in his word and go to his word. We've even been faulted about referencing the Bible so much. It's not realized that when one would say, "You're always going to that Bible, you're always going to what that Bible says." You know, that's a compliment. It's not a slam. It's a compliment, you know, and the Lord's honored his word. You know, he's good that way. It's what he's given us his word to do. And we're praising the Lord here. We're not patting ourselves on the back. We're praising the Lord for his faithfulness. We've been challenged and we've been tested and tried and strained. But the Lord's blessed us and helped us indeed. And so the desire is there. You know, I want to be a good pastor of one of the Lord's churches, Olmsted Baptist Church. I want to be a good pastor, pleasing to the Lord, and a good pastor to you and your family. a good minister and witness in this region and community of the truth of the Lord, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be. That's what the Lord's called me to be. I'm not looking to make a name for myself, nor should any man do so. As I told you when I came here, and let me be reminded, let you be reminded, let us all be reminded, I'm not coming here. I'm not coming here to Olmsted Baptist Church as a stepping stone to another place. I'm coming here to be your pastor as long as the Lord wants me to be your pastor. And that's what I look to do. And that's what a man should, a desire for it. The pastor wrangles with his own flesh, doesn't he? I've still got the old man strapped on me too in the old mind and can get distracted and do and all that. But I tell you what, when I'm yielding to the Lord and submitting to the Lord, I tell you what, it's a blessed calling. And it is a good thing, a blessed thing to follow in the steps of our Lord. See, the office of a bishop, when we talk about that, and you know what, I don't want you to call me Bishop Duke. I want you to call me Brother Jim. You know, Brother Jim, Pastor Jim, Pastor, you know, I'm your brother, but I am your pastor too. And we have a unity and kinship by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is that office that I do hold as your pastor, that there needs to be a respect for that according to what the Lord's designed. I don't look to pull that to myself, nor should any man do so. Respect and honor is gained. And so by my walking with you and walking before you and leading you as a church, I look to fill this office, and indeed it is an office of a bishop. It says here, this word, it's one word as we look at it in the Greek, office of a bishop. It's interesting. I find it interesting that a synonym for this word, office of a bishop, and I know in the English it's four, but it speaks about visitation. Visitation. You know, a pastor, as we read in Ephesians, is a gift of the Lord unto the churches. Now, I don't liken myself as too much of a gift, but that's what the Lord says. That's His design. This office of a bishop follows in line with what the Lord is to the church. Oh, I'm not the Lord. No man of this earth is ever going to be like the Lord, but our Lord is the head. He's the shepherd. He is our great shepherd, right? And those that he points to this office of a bishop are under shepherds. He's my head too. And there is that part of the leadership of the pastor that's there in the work. I need to be praying for you. I need to be tending to you and to your families. That the Lord likens His church unto a flock in other places in the pasture and pastors in the scriptures. And He likens us to a flock. I need to be a pastor. You know, and I understand the vernacular and how it is with cultures, you know, and there's this reference that we hear it more in the South about my preacher. And I think what's meant there, I trust, is your pastor. I don't want to be just your preacher. You can hire a preacher, somebody to preach the word of God to you, but I want to be your pastor. I look to be your pastor as the Lord would have us to be. That's the design. That's the design, is to laugh with you when you laugh and cry with you when you cry. To help you and support you and to comfort you and to remind you about what the Word of God says. When we need it for help and support, when we need it to be corrected as to what the truth is, and maybe we're getting wayward from it. That's what a pastor is going to look to do. This word, office of a bishop, speaks about investigation and inspection and visitation. Talks about oversight. Indeed, it is an office. A synonym for it, in a sense, can be a charge. One that oversees one of the Lord's churches. if he desires this and the Lord has blessed him with this calling, he desireth a good work because it's an eternal work and it's a work related to glory. It's a work that's related to help teach and remind the children of God as we're walking the narrow way that is Christ onto glory. What else compares? What else compares? And not to demean any other thing that is done in life. Not all will be called to be a pastor. I'm not running down your life and your work and your calling. All of us need to meet what the Lord's given us to do. That's what we need to meet. Okay, so it's not that. But the way the Lord's put us together in his institution, and then the way that he has put us together, and then the way that he has made for a church to have a pastor is a blessed, blessed thing indeed. I love you. And I know you love me. And I praise the Lord for that blessing that we have from our Lord and that love. I know that you would do anything for me that I would need you to do. I know that I and believe that I can count on you. And I want it to be that you can count on me. And it's a good, blessed thing that our Lord has done for us. Indeed. It says here, a true saying. Indeed, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop, a pastor, that's what it's a synonym for, an overseer, then must be. There's some things that he must be. It says must. That's the word, isn't it? Not try to be, but must be. Got to be these things. Why? Because I tell you what, going back in the scriptures, the men of God, called of God, to handle the word of God, are to be holy. That's a frightful thing. I mean, it's really uncomfortable to be the pastor, to have to teach and preach upon these things when I'm doing so about myself. But you know what? It's good to do that too. Listen, I want to be representative of what the Lord says should be in a man to be a pastor. I need your prayers that I may do so. Lord, help me to do. I can't do it on my own. I asked that early on in the ministry when the Lord called me to surrender to preach in that. Why me? Who am I? But the Lord said that's what he wanted done. And then when he called me here as pastor, me? Me? I tell you what, it's a lot easier to work on machines than it is to work on and help people. I can forget about the machines. I can't forget about you. And that's where the man of God's heart should be. And pray for me that my heart would be tender towards you. It needs to be that way. Again, that of a shepherd and the sheep. Our Lord's the great shepherd. And I as a pastor as an under shepherd, we need to have a love for the sheep. Think about a man that would go out and face loneliness and hardship and hard times and a rough existence out there looking for feed and looking for pasture and water for his sheep. That's the picture that the Lord paints. You know what? And it's a blessed thing about how you all provide for me and my family. I praise the Lord for that. The churches here in the area are not all that way. Many of my fellow brethren of the churches here that we fellowship had to work or do work. I praise the Lord for that. That's a great blessing. You give me freedom to be able to minister. And you pray for me, Lord, help me to take that and use that well. He must be blameless. Blameless. We can stumble over this word and misunderstand what it's talking about. A man of God, a pastor, is not perfect. I confess to you this morning that I had a bad week last week, and I'm sorry for it. I let some things get under my skin that I just should not have let get under my skin. But you know what? It doesn't need to be known out here in the community that I'm a hothead or that I'm a thief. This thing about blameless is that it's not known. It's not known, nor should it be, that the man be guilty of things knowingly by the church membership and in the community. A man that has room to be blamed. If I'm blamed for standing for the Word of God and the truth of God, then so be it. That's the way it should be. So maybe blamed in that way. He's always wanting to go by that Bible. Praise God if a man will go by the Scripture. But if it's known that I cheat on my taxes by the membership, if it's known that I cheat on my taxes by the accountant or the CPA in the community that does my taxes, say. You see what I'm saying? If it's known, he's the pastor there, but he cheats on his wife. That man can't be pastor. Because why? He can't be effective holding and handling and bringing forth the holy word of God. You know, there needs to be something, and again, it's precarious, I feel, in this about teaching and preaching about it, and here I am in the place of it. And so I claim nothing to myself, but a man's got to walk what he preaches. Otherwise, who will believe him? Amen? Samuel, Brother Samuel, and a prophet is different than a pastor, but they knew that Brother Samuel, Israel knew that Brother Samuel believed what the Lord had given him. And I don't want you to fear me, but I do want you to respect and desire for you to respect. And I need to move about so you would respect the office of pastor. But Brother Samuel, for example, when Samuel came around, those towns to whom he came around to, they feared, thinking that he was going to be there to deal with them. I don't want you to fear me that way, but there does need to be respect. Why was it that way? Because they knew he was the man of God. And in the pattern, as we've looked recently, of the apostles, they are the example that we have, and our other brethren in the scriptures that were pastors are the example that we need to be holy and a good witness. A man must be blameless, irreproachable publicly, and not one that needs to be apprehended, or as our sister says, needs to be handled by the law. You know, if the pastor's a crook, it just brings a whole shame upon the work of God, doesn't it? And then it's a situation where the people of God come to the services and to what? To listen to the crook. It's no good. I mean, it's just, it becomes vain, doesn't it? And so a man must be blameless indeed. It says here, as we've touched upon, it means to be the husband of one wife. No polygamist. And as we believe, husband of one wife, and understand what the scripture says, not a man divorced either. Not a man with a living wife. Now, Brother Jim, that's awful hard. That's awful tough. We've got a whole cut of brethren. Now, I love them. I know many of them that maybe they were divorced before they were even saved and such as that. And then they've looked to pastor and I've struggled with having to try to have the right understanding about that. Certainly a man that's been divorced and then saved and then married again. You know, if that woman is living from the standpoint of the Lord, he is connected yet to her. So that's what the Word of God says. It stands there. There is a connection yet. You know, from the standpoint of the law, they are divorced. But it's very clear that writing of a divorcement was given even in Moses' day because of the hardness of the heart of the people. And so with having one that a man has been married to and being in that divorced state, and then if he marries or she marries, they should never look to reconcile. The Lord makes it clear that that's abominable. It should not be done. And so he's got the wife to whom he's married, but he's got that wife that he divorced too. And what does it do? Does it mean that he's not capable? Oh, he may be well capable more than 10 other men. But he's got that upon him that the Lord says his men need to be holy in that respect. My understanding's right from the scriptures that this holds over even from the days of the priests. From those of the Levitical priesthood and had office and station in the priesthood and all those things. That's what the Lord's expect. Either not to be married, or when you do marry, stay with her. That's what the Lord expects. The husband of one wife. And again, we've already dealt with the gender. It's not given to women to pastor, and all of us have run into this. I did so with my cousin some years ago. Jimmy, I want you to meet my pastor. And there she was. or someone that you meet, a gal, you know, and she says, I've got some in my family, they pastor so-and-so church. It's not to be. If they would undertake to follow the scriptures, being the husband of one wife, we end up into all this gender confusion mess that we've got today, don't we? So it's clear that it's the men that are to lead, just like the Lord said from the beginning, just as though we have here in the preceding chapter, in verse number 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So Adam being the one that willfully went against God, the first created in the image and likeness of God. Our Lord refers to himself as male. That's the way it is with the pastorate, to be a man and to be married to one woman. It says here that a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, and he must be vigilant. And, you know, it can be confusing to us, this word vigilant, and you see there after vigilant, you see sober, and we have as a synonym for the word vigilant, sober. So we can kind of get in a strait sometimes understanding about these words. But also for vigilance, there's this word temperate, self-controlled. It means to be a man that's self-controlled. Not a man that just flies off the handle. I think not a man that answers quickly. It does well for us to all think before we speak, doesn't it? He needs to be vigilant about the work that he's called into, not be a slackard in it and one that would back off, but always looking to pursue and have understanding from the Lord about what's next. Our Lord leads us, but then there's an aspect that I seek the Lord's face about leading the church. And we're all in that together, but yet as a pastor, there's a leadership element there too. Need to be vigilant in that, not half-hearted about it. Having a real understanding of the big picture of God, as I tell you often, to understand what this is all about, to understand the priority and what's most important. It says here that a man must be vigilant and he also must be sober. He's got to be sane. An insane man cannot be pastor. He's got to be sober, of sound mind, in one's senses. Not impulsive, but self-controlled, and again, as a synonym, temperate, self-controlled indeed. Of good behavior is another qualification. Modest. Well-arranged, seemly. You know, in my life and in preaching and teaching, there does need to be an order in things, and not, it doesn't need to be haywire and this, that. It needs to, to have a pattern and a path to be able to help those that are being taught and preached to understand what the point is from the scripture. To have an order in the things that he leads in the church. To be of good behavior. This word in the Greek, kosmos, is akin to cosmos. Our Lord's creation is indeed very ordered, isn't it? From our bodies to the things of the earth, the seasons, the animals, the plants, all those things. And so a man must be of good behavior. It says here, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, and given to hospitality. I like to be hospitable. I like to visit. It seems like in recent times we really had a challenge with us in the church because everybody's just been so busy. We get busy, don't we? And just talking to brother just before lunch and after services, you know, our church and just all different membership, different families and all that, we've all got something that's on us right now. You know, we could have a great temptation to be real short with each other right now because we're being loaded and we're being strained. But we need to look to our Lord, pray for one another, pray for ourselves, and pray the Lord will help us to be able to bear it and take up our cross daily and follow him in it. And you know what? He'll carry us through it. Where we don't have answers, he'll give us answers indeed. And we need to be, the man of God needs to be given to hospitality. A lover of hospitality, as it says in other passages. In Titus chapter 1, verse number 8, and we'll go over and touch on these at a later time, but the man of God, a pastor, needs to be a lover of hospitality. A way that we might say it is he needs to be a people person. Not in some sense, but not in the complete sense, but willing to visit. You know, if you and I get together and I behave like as your pastor that you bore me, where are we going to get? Right? You know, how am I going to be a help to you? And the thing is, the man of God doesn't need to feign it. It needs to be true. It comes from a love of the calling. See, a man with a vocation indeed may become weary with the people. Because a man with the vocation of a pastor, understand a job, would very well be tempted to say, why should I bear my problems and yours too? But a pastor called by the Lord is going to love the sheep. And is going to love the sheep where they are. And is going to pray for the sheep and desire for the sheep that the sheep learn and grow and advance from where they are to where there's next that the Lord has for them. Moses, in preaching to the children of Israel, he says something like this. I'll paraphrase it. He says, the Lord forgive me if I don't pray for you. I need to pray for you. I need to pray for you more than I do. And a man will only be able to pray for the children of God, the people of God in the church that he's given him to pastor, if he loves them and sees that this is all from the Lord. A lover of hospitality. You know what? I'm glad the church decided some time ago for us to eat lunch together. And the ladies have got their new plan, and today it seemed to work out very well. And I'm glad for us to be able to get to visit together. And I pray that the Lord would help each one of us that we'd be given to hospitality. I want to challenge you in something. Mingle and mix with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We find it very easy to land in our place and claim our place, and we do that. It's just that way. But I tell you what, when we meet together, let's mix it up. Let's mix it up and visit with our brothers and sisters in Christ. does not land in our place and stay right there. But let's all be a lover of hospitality. Amen. Amen. Let us, because the Lord is hospitable unto us. He came to us when we were far from him. He came to us when we were unlovable. And the man of God needs to be given to hospitality, and may the people of God be so too. It says here, given to hospitality and apt to teach. It's got an ability, it's got to be an ability and a skill to be able to teach the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, the apostle writing to the brother also in the second epistle of Timothy, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. A man's got to be filled with the Spirit of God and the Word of God such that he can take the Word of God and be able to expound upon it and bring it right down here to live in day-to-day life for the people of God in the church. Because if the man can't teach, if the man can't help the people of the Lord in the church to advance and to learn and to challenge them and to cause them to grow and to show them what the Word of God is. Listen, you can't just depend on your pastor to do it, but the pastor needs to be doing that. And if he can't do that, then he can't feed the sheep. You remember what the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul challenged those from Ephesus, those ministers? He said, feed the flock. Feed the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. So a man of God needs to be apt to teach. I need your prayers. I need your prayers indeed.